Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Hi.
Oh, he was waving again. And that's Josh Brown.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Can y'all see me, or am I like sunk down in the chair too much again? I know sometimes
we can see you.
Our video screens that we use, they're like on your home screen that you're seeing is like a big tall square thing, but what everybody else see is only like 2 inches of that square. So like I'm never sure if I'm actually in the shot or not. JT half the time tells me I'm too low. So of course Josh starts off the episode yawning. So this is bound to be a real burner for you guys out there. Serenity now! Serenity now!
Yeah. Boo. Bummer.
Boo. Bummer that Jerry Stiller died.
Yeah.
But he was 93, to be fair. That's a pretty good life.
Right. Yeah.
Jerry Stiller.
What a baller.
What was your favorite Jerry Stiller role?
Oh, gosh. Frank Costanza.
Frank Costanza?
He was low key. He was a savage in King of Queens.
He was. Arthur was great in King of Queens.
Arthur Spooner, awful. Basically the same dude. It like revised
bigger role.
His role.
Bigger
yeah,
role, though, was, in King of Queens. Than,
yeah, bigger slice of the
also,
show.
Did you guys know there's a lot of people out there that don't think Seinfeld is funny?
They're really dumb people.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's shit like that, that I'm like, maybe we are in a simulation, you know?
Hmm.
How there's just filtered realities.
Oh.
You know?
Josh, how much have you smoked tonight? just curious.
Not a lot. Not a whole lot.
Okay. Only a little bit. So we know a little bit makes you think there's altered realities and start talking about the Matrix.
But, I mean, it could happen.
It could happen. I am always curious how people ever say that Jerry Seinfeld and the show Seinfeld are not funny. Like, what kind of person doesn't find that funny?
Yeah, Seinfeld is
a person
hilarious.
That's not real. A fake person.
Programmed him, like,
by a higher being.
The comedians and cars getting coffee stuff is
oh, it's
fantastic.
So good.
It's genius. Yeah.
The 2 minutes he was on The Last Dance was like the funniest thing.
Yeah.
He just seems like a guy like you'd really enjoy being around. Like, you know. Seems like
Jerry seems like the greatest Jew ever. Like, that's just the way he comes across. Like, he's just a happy-go-lucky Jewish guy. Like, it's Jerry.
I think Jerry is a Republican.
Because
he might be.
It's always the guys that don't talk
maybe.
Politics.
He dresses that way.
I mean, he dresses that way. And I don't know. I think he definitely leans liberal.
Not left necessarily, but liberal, social.
Yeah,
social.
Very I agree with you. Social. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. But that would still make you a Republican in 2020 because the left.
That's very possible.
So
like, let's be honest. If you're
stupid,
not crazy off the charts,
right?
Stupid. Okay,
right,
stupid's
right,
not
right,
the
right,
right word.
Right.
Crazy off the charts. Identity crisis.
Yeah.
Then you're pretty much a Republican at this point because that's the only place left for you.
I think that's very demographically Long Island is you know, a socially liberal place, but more fiscally conservative, conservative in things like national defense, stuff like that.
Money.
It's like, hey, you know, we're roughneck New Yorkers. We love to support the troops. And we don't want to spend too much money on things, but you know we've got gay neighbors and we like them.
you
know.
Exactly.
So I love about Seinfeld is that the dude's worth like $300 million, and you watch an episode of Seinfeld and he's wearing like jeans he got at Kmart, and like sneakers and like a button down shirt off the racket, yeah. Dillard's, no belt.
That being said, I don't think Jerry's that down to earth. Jerry's probably a snob and very much enjoys being a snob. You know, I don't mean like in a bad way necessarily. I just mean like
I think so too, but I think he is cognizant of that, and I think he'll admit which kind of makes him down to earth, though.
Okay, I can see your argument there.
Yeah,
I can see your argument. Favorite. So we were talking about Jerry Stiller. Favorite Jerry Stiller moment that you remember?
I don't. I've seen so many Seinfeld episodes through the years, but I don't know if I remember like a. I just remember him yelling a lot. I remember Serenity Now.
Serenity Now was a big one. Del Boca Vista.
I'm coming to Del Boca Vista.
When Morty Seinfeld tried to keep them out of Del Boca Vista, and they were coming lock, stock, and barrel.
I like when he ran for president as a socialist. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Bernie Sanders. Same guy. Basically the same guy.
The man's ear. You got to inventing the man's ear.
The man's ear is strong. I enjoyed the stop short, the whole stop short episode with Kramer. Yes, yeah. And you tried to stop short with my wife. Yeah. Everything was Jerry was like over the top scream. Mm. And then the one where he tries to get into a fight with Elaine, that was pretty good too.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of this?
I credit the King of Queens for basically seeing like a guy that was, and part of the success of Frank Costanza was that he wasn't a main character, so he always stayed fresh. But credit them seeing that and being like, let's just take that character and just put him as like one third of the show, and it's gonna be great. You know, like it's almost like stealing, like if they had stole Newman or something. You know, like and it's funny, so no one cares that they basically just stole an idea from Seinfeld. And so we're just going to change his name. He's going to act like the same way. Crazy old man. Yes, Newman.
Speaking of, if anybody listening is down in Rome, Georgia, my hometown, Newman works in the seafood department at Publix in Rome, Georgia. So just go back there.
Wait.
And it'll blow your mind.
Wayne Knight works at this. Wait.
It'll blow your mind.
It's just someone that looks like him.
You'll freak out.
It's just someone that looks like
him.
You'll freak
out.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Newman had a lot of good roles outside of Seinfeld.
Oh, Jurassic Park. Yeah. Dotson. We got Dotson here. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
And Space Jam.
This is what's funny. Jerry Stiller is remembered by our generation for Seinfeld and King of Queens. That being said, he was like a huge movie star, TV show actor for years and years and years and years before those shows.
Yeah, because he was old in the stuff that we know him from. He was in the 70s probably, which is crazy.
See, he was on Heart to Heart, and he was on, series that everybody was on back? Oh, the Ed McMahon Show. Yeah. Yeah, he was on the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm sorry, not Ed McMahon. Ed Sullivan Show. Like, he was part of the comedy team for their, like, comedy writers, you know, like, original SNL Ed Sullivan Show. So, he goes way back. And his wife was on King of Queens. Did you know that?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So, the woman
he was married
he is
to Leah
getting,
Remini?
No. Oh. The woman he's getting married to in King of Queens, if you remember that storyline, Arthur's about to get married, and she was Spence's mom. Like, do you remember Spence? That's played
Patton
by
Oswalt.
What's his name?
Yeah,
Patton Oswalt. His mother and Arthur start dating on the show,
that's right,
and it's like a whole season or two episode thing, and they're about to get married. That's actually Jerry Stiller's wife in real life. So.
King of Queens is one of those shows that I assumed was garbage at one point. Because, like, you know, those shows, when you're watching a football game, that they interrupt it and bring a graphic. And you're like, no one watches that, CBS, get away from me. And then, like once I graduated college, I watched it. And then next thing you know, I was recording, like, four episodes a day on TBS. And I was like, this show's hilarious.
Yes.
Like, this show's great. I love King of Queens.
Leah Remini, though, terrible actress. She was the worst part of that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Kevin James is a Robert Redford or anything either. But I think that's why the show worked.
No, but he was funny. Like, Kevin James was actually funny, though. Like, even if he couldn't act, he was funny. Like, I don't know. I guess it made the show work because she's like that Jersey brash. It was supposed to kind of have that feel.
Yeah.
But she was like obnoxiously so. I did not enjoy
I didn't think I would like it because, like, Kevin James to me is one of those guys where if you're like, hey, all right, you can't tell any jokes about being, like, a big, fat, hungry oaf, you know, what are you going to talk about? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, it seems like all his humor is based upon, like, I'm a man, being a fat guy. I like to eat, and, you know, I like, you know, I don't know. You know, it seems kind of, he's kind of pigeonholed himself into one thing, and that's it, but,
You know what I? You know the show I found by watching King of Queens on TBS. First of all, they did several crossover shows that Everybody Loves Raymond. That was cool. But did you know? Like, I would watch that whole block. But Life According to Jim, underrated goldmine show. Don't know if you ever watched it. Jim Belushi, John's brother.
Yeah. I saw a little bit. I've never. Remember in
Brad Paisley's wife was on that. Brad Paisley's wife was on that show. They actually met while she was on that show.
I've never liked Jim Belushi. That's right. And remember in Walk the Line where Johnny Cash's dad is like the wrong brother died. That's kind of how I feel about the Belushis.
I don't know. I like Jim.
Just kidding, that's mean.
It's underrated. He's underrated. He lived in his brother's shadow for sure, but yeah, I didn't think it was all that bad. Hey, fellas, I got a question for you. What order do you wash in the shower? Do you have like a routine? Do you like wash your body, then your hair, and then your butt, and your privates, or like do you go privates first and then like what's your wash order?
Kenny, what is this? The Chatting Average podcast? We're trying to entertain people here. You know,
below average.
I feel like we're like, you know, Brooks and Dunn on our last leg. You know, and this is before we're saved by the emergence of country music, and we're on our way out. Basically, is what's happening, Kenny. And we've got these younger bucks coming up taking our jobs, like Chatting Average, like Mansplain Girls, because we are coming to the game with this bullshit, talking about how we bathe, you know?
Would you prefer to actually, like, write material? I mean, I write a script, and you're welcome to add to it.
It's great. It's a great response, Ken.
And, I mean, I'm just...
I usually start here, and I take a thing of, like, 3-in-1 wash because I don't have hair on my head.
Uh-huh.
And I just basically pour it all over myself.
I like how you had to clarify on my head, like as if we weren't aware of the fact that you're, you know.
Start at the top, and then I kind of pour it all the way down, and then I just loofah everything.
What about you, Joshua, since you're, you know, add some content to this question that makes us above beyond. There you go.
There's nothing we can add to this question that'll make us stand apart at all, but you know what? I use a bar of soap.
Bar? No rag?
I use a bar and a rag.
I use a rag.
I use a rag like a man from the 30s.
I'm not really a rag guy. I'm
a rag guy. Use a bar and a rag.
Straight with soap. You start at the top, admit, go down?
We've talked about this before, I think, because you guys gave me a lot of shit for it, but I'll admit that for a while, I like to use, there's a local soap maker, shut up, you buy it at the Mass General store, it smells like Fraser fur, man. It smells like, it's amazing. It smells like a Christmas tree in your shower. Okay, so shut up.
We got some organic soaps for Christmas, and I agree they are fantastic.
Off the chain, but they're like $4 or $5 a pop, and so for the last year, I use Irish Spring. I get a big old thing of Irish Spring.
Hey,
it lasts me forever.
I use Irish Spring. I use Irish Spring.
Do you slice it and smell it?
I do
like
not.
The guy in the commercial.
No, but I do like to smell it. I like to
Josh,
smell it.
Josh, does your Irish Spring? I enjoy do you use like Irish a soap Spring. Dish to use like a soap dish.
What's a soap dish?
It's like a little dish that your soap sets in, so it doesn't like fall out on the floor.
No, I mean I use like one of those things that hangs on the
like a shower rack.
A shower rack thing, you know? And it's in one of those things, yeah.
Well, we've got, like, one of these little, like, soap dishes that you put the bar of soap in or whatever. But, like, pet peeve, that thing, if you don't empty it of water after the shower, the soap gets, like, soft and, like, grungy. And it's kind of gross. And I feel like I have to wash the soap before washing my body. It's kind of, it's like a pet peeve thing. I don't know. I have a tendency to wash my hair last. I'm not really sure.
I don't wash my hair a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like to keep the natural oils?
Yeah. I mean, I probably wash my hair maybe, I don't know, once or twice a week, maybe.
Well, that's probably what I do. I wash mine about every other time I shower, something like that.
Speaking of hair, I got a haircut today.
Oh, nice.
Newman's Barbershop in
downtown
Mountain City.
Is that why
you're
wearing your hat backwards and look like a thumb?
Right.
Oh, no, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, you're allowed to get a haircut?
No, I drove to Tennessee. I drove to Mountain City, Tennessee, which is down the road. See? Honestly, it's one of my favorite haircuts I've ever had. It was at a barbershop, and the guy took... It's one of those places that... 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he didn't use scissors.
We have Fast Freddy's. It's
no scissors.
All razors. Yeah.
All razors. And I was a little nervous because I'm a little bit of a...
Oh, I'm sure there's a gap here or there. I'm sure there's a gap here or there.
Well, my last haircut, mind you, was from my sister-in-law, Jamie, who is... Dude, she's like a badass hair salonist in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, true story. She's cutting my hair, true story, with these scissors that are $700 scissors.
Good Lord.
They are literally $700 scissors. Like, she told me about them. She actually asked for money to get them for Christmas, like a couple years
ago. Does she, like, cut her weed or something with them? Like,
she's
what?
Like the...
What
She's
do
like
you
a,
use $700 scissors for?
I don't know. They last forever. They got like a lifetime warranty and some bullshit. But like, so she's the real deal. And then I go to this guy. And I mean, Jamie's haircut was great, I think. But like this guy, I was pretty impressed. All razors, man. And I was getting a little nervous because I couldn't see it yet. I was facing away from the mirror. I was in and out in less than 10 minutes.
Do you Newman's know that I cut my own hair. I used to go pay like big money. One of my gay buddies, buddy of mine that was gay, he was a hairstylist and fixed it. And I used to pay like a lot of money to get my hair done. I paid him like, do you know I did highlights at one point? It's kind of weird.
I did too in the year 2000. Maybe.
Yeah, I think this was like 2002 or 3, something like that.
Oh yeah,
I did some highlights, but
I had like a had some highlights. Had my little hip necklace on.
I never had the hip necklace, but I did do the highlights thing one time. But yeah, I mean, like he did my hair, and like for years it cost me like $40 a haircut. And
$40 No, man.
Yeah, it was kind of
my
expensive.
Buddy Chris Bartelski highlighted my hair for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice, but. Tim got sick and wasn't able to cut it, like, for a long time. And so he was, like, having heart trouble. And he ended up passing away. But, like, this was before that. And I said, well, you know, I'm at home. And I don't have it. Nobody sees me except for the cows. So I'll just try this on my own. So I just pulled out an electric razor thing that I had and went, the first time I gapped it up pretty good. I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, and trimming the top was a challenge. But I need a haircut right now. But I'm actually fairly decent at it. I would trust myself to cut someone else's hair even, as long as it was a man. You know, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be afraid to cut hair.
I definitely couldn't cut hair.
Anyway. Oh, man. Josh, did you see the Mike Tyson tweet?
I did.
Saying he is back.
I did. I don't know my boxing mechanics, okay? But for the layperson here,
mm-hmm.
for the replacement level dingus podcaster in Boone, North Carolina, Ken Hendricks, I watched that video and I was like, fuck yeah, let's go! Woo!
That man's about to kill somebody.
He's back! That's how I felt about it.
That man's about to kill someone. That's the way I felt. Like, I watched
Same.
It.
Yeah,
and the gray beard makes him even scarier. Somehow, mm-hmm. the gray beard makes Mike Tyson the mm-hmm. scariest looking thing since Kimbo Slice. And I think,
well, the whole bald black guy thing with the gray beard is always a badass look. Eric Young, yeah. Senior.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith rocks the shit
Except Tyson's just like not trimmed. His is like
yeah.
wild man.
Yeah.
But like when Mike Tyson puts up a punching video the day after there's the Last Dance thing where Michael Jordan talks about his press releases, I'm back, and Mike Tyson does a bunch of punching and says, I'm back.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Like, are we going to actually see Mike Tyson fight in the year of our Lord 2020?
Well, the difference was when Michael Jordan did it, he was like
30.
What? Yeah, maybe 32, 33, yeah. maybe at the oldest. And Mike Tyson's 50, so yeah.
It doesn't matter. Mike Tyson could come back and fight, like, one of us. And it would be a huge draw and a huge moneymaker on pay-per-view because people would just be curious. And
can I say that I think Mike Tyson could go toe-to-toe with most heavyweight boxers today for maybe 3 to 5 rounds?
Well, I think I think that might not be too far-fetched because I think the talent pool right now for like heavyweights is weak in this era right now. I think all your talents, like your light featherweight guys in general.
I don't know. The last guy was pretty dang good. What was that dude? What
Tyson
was that dude's
Fury.
Name that won? Yes, yeah. Fury's pretty good.
Yeah, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder would both destroy Mike Tyson at this point. But they have like a 3-foot reach advantage on him, so it's a different ballgame. But then
that being said, that dude, Mike Tyson punches so freaking hard till. I don't know
He's
if those
so
guys
fast.
Have ever been hit that hard.
But at the end of Tyson's career, they were still putting him up against stiffs, but now they were beating him, and so it got sad. But I think there is a temptation for somebody, some promoter, to put Mike Tyson in there against some guy with a, you know, a 2-3 record that's going to get a huge payday out of it, and people are just going to tune in because they want to see what Mike Tyson looks like and what he does. I mean, it would be a freak show kind of fight, but
would you bet
why not?
Would you bet on Mike Tyson?
No, I'd probably just buy it and watch it. Because I got no idea. I got no idea. Like, what can I go on?
Yeah.
You know, what? You know, that because he knocked out Trevor Burbick in 1989? I mean, what am I basing this on? I'd probably just watch it out of curiosity just to see.
Man, you saw, he can still punch. You saw The Hangover?
He lost the gut, too. He was looking a little paunchy lately.
I don't know. I thought he looked a little paunchy. I thought he looked a little paunchy.
He's looked better. He looks better than what he's looked like in the past. Like, I've seen him do interviews where he's got, like, a button down and some slacks on, and it doesn't look good on him. You know, maybe it's just a bad shirt. But he looked like he's put on a gut and gotten a little happy and fat and lazy.
Have you seen the video today yet, though, JT?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It was. Now, granted, it's a 1 minute video, so anybody can edit a 1 minute video, make it look like I am bad. Honestly, we could do that because all I gotta do is punch hard for like 5 seconds, and then do that a bunch of times, edit it all together, and I've looked like I'm about to kill somebody. So we don't know anything, and that was always Mike's downfall too. Is that if you get him past the third round, he's in trouble.
I don't think y'all could make me look like I was about to kill somebody. I don't believe it.
Look, there's a lot of editing.
Oh, give us 48 hours, Kenny. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Me and JT come down to the farm. We could, dude. Bro,
it'd be like a Rocky montage for me, wouldn't it? Except I'd be like dying and puking my guts up in the corner instead of like sweating. Like
you have to trust us. You have to trust us. You have to trust us.
Chase the chickens around.
You have to smoke whatever. Whatever I give you, you smoke.
No,
you just do whatever I say.
Uh-uh.
Let me tell you something. Because whatever you think is real, Kenny. So if you say you're the greatest of all time, you're the greatest of all time.
Okay.
You would be surprised after 48 hours of my tutelage how much reality you could alter. It'll blow your mind.
I would believe it. Would we be living in the Matrix and simulated reality and – maybe would I stop liking Seinfeld?
I don't know if we'd go that far, but it's possible.
Have you ever read A Brave New World, Josh, with Aldous Huxley?
No.
You should. You should. It's a Josh Brown kind of book. Very famous book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It came out in like the 50s, I think. And Huxley imagines the futuristic world where we're all enslaved, and we all worship our Lord and Savior, our Ford and Savior is actually what they call him. And the idea is that Ford, you know, that makes the truck, that the world worships him as a capitalist god, and that the world is basically all programmed from the time they're infants to live in these different caste systems, and we all survive happily off of pills that we take called Soma. And there's a refuge that you can go and visit, where the wild Indians live and worship their coyote Jesus god and take peyote. Yeah, it's a really good book. It's a really good book. You should read it.
I wouldn't recommend taking don't take somas though.
Don't take somas.
Yeah, those are what they call them, wrestler killers. So
yeah,
I'll tell you.
Oh really? I
yeah, like pretty much any wrestler that died of an overdose, somas were involved because it's a really addictive muscle relaxer.
Oh,
and so these guys would get body slammed, and there's no off season, and basically you don't work, you don't get paid, so you end up being like, yeah, I need muscle relaxers, and you're taken by the handful, and well, your heart's a muscle.
That's
so
pretty much the way this story works is like everybody's happy as long as they take their soma, and then if you stop taking your soma, or if you take too much soma, either one, you either go into soma land and you stop, your body just finally stops working, or you. You become a zombie and basically do everything the government tells you. That's the other extreme. So,
or you just die. That could happen too.
Sort of. Yeah. It's a very good book. I really enjoyed it. I recommend it to everyone to read at some point. It's like one of those classics. It's considered a classic by Aldous Huxley, Brave New
by
World.
Barnes and Noble, because that will be the book. The table.
I miss
that
Barnes
it's on.
Noble so much. I miss Barnes and Noble.
Do you?
I miss it.
Why?
Yeah. When you live in a when you live in a little town with one bookstore called Foggy Pine Bookstore, and you walk in that thing, and it's all a bunch of like social justice bullshit, then yeah, you miss Barnes & Noble.
Or books with pictures of creeks. You're like, okay, that's neat.
I can't tell you the last time I actually went in a Barnes & Noble.
It's probably there's one a mile from my house, and I would go all the time just
out
of boredom.
3 years? Yeah, it's probably been 2 or 3 years since I've been.
When I drive back to Georgia.
If I need a book, I just order something off of Amazon. There's not one close by to us.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but I like Barnes & Noble. Like, there was a Brian Kilmeade book that I really wanted back in December, and on the way back to Georgia.
I hardly ever buy new books anymore because paying $30 for a book seems crazy these days, you know? But Amazon's great because you can find used books for like a penny. And then it's like $3.99 shipping and handling, so $4, and it's there in a week.
Y'all ever been to McKay's bookstore?
Mm-mm.
McKay's. If you're ever in Knoxville or driving through Knoxville, and there's one in Chattanooga too, like this is a thing you should stop at. I mean, this is like it's a giant used bookstore. I mean,
people have used books in Knoxville.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's a huge, it's like the size of like a Walmart, and it's
they're required
amazing.
To buy them for school.
It's
JT,
amazing,
and then nobody reads them, so they just store them all in this.
Me and Nikki will go.
Books have already been colored in.
Me and Nikki will walk out with like
places.
Five. It's awesome. It's not that intimidating because they're pretty good about like categorizing things at least. So like, even though it's big. I love baseball books, so I'll go to like the sports section. There's not, not a huge baseball section.
I feel
so
judged though when I do that.
Do you really?
Like, because I'm like, where's the sports books? And they're always in the books next to like the humor and entertainment books. So there'll be like a book about Saturday Night Live, and then a book about like.
See, here's why you
Roger
feel
Maris
judged,
next to each
you.
Other.
Right. Here's why. So you don't you feel judged because you think that there's a perception on that as being like
dumb.
Kind of dumb,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the people. Let me tell you something. You got 40-year-olds reading comic books, JT.
This is true.
Okay. Oh. And they're reading a bunch of fantasy teen bullshit. So you go get your Roger Maris book, is what I'm telling you.
Let me tell you, there's a comic book store a block down from my office, and I've walked in there before. And boy, do you want to talk about getting judged? They can point out in a heartbeat who's not comic book guy.
That you're not one of them?
Dude.
You got judged by the nerds?
So when I was a kid, this same... see, look at that. Kenny's showing off his comic book collection.
Nerd alert.
Graphic novel. Sorry. When I was a kid, this same store was in a different location. And when I was a kid, they had lots of baseball cards, and you could buy cards, a single card. Oh, see, I like Batman. We watched Batman today. Me and the kids watched. Watched
Ken's
Batman.
Like an intellectual nerd, though. He at least he like has books. It's not just right. Like.
Well, when I was a kid, you could go and I could buy like I thought was cool because I could buy like this $6 Tom Glavin rookie card or whatever, you know. And I thought that was neat. And they had Beckett's, and you could price your cards. And I loved it. Now, new ownership is in a new location, and I was like, "Hey, do y'all have baseball cards?" And the guy like pointed, didn't even look at me. It was just like they had one thing of like the, whatever the newest Topps is or whatever. So I was like, "I guess I'll buy one of these." And just bought like a $3.99 pack of baseball cards because I kind of looked around a little bit.
The biggest dork ever.
Oh yeah, because I'm at, and with a it's a huge place, and I'm telling you, there might be a million comic books in this place. It is gigantic, and I was looking around for like an old. I wanted to buy like a used Nintendo 64, but they didn't have like I wanted Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, and they didn't have it. So I was like, dang it, that's what I played summer of '99. I want that game, so I didn't. And it was like $75 for a used N64, which I thought was crazy.
That
expensive.
Is ridiculous.
And so then they were just like,
say they
like, hey,
they have these
have
things
baseball?
In McKay's.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they have like a whole section of like video game stuff and like audio
cool.
stuff and like, dude, you would love a McKay's, man.
Yeah,
I think it's
well,
a Tennessee thing.
I won't feel as judged there as I will with the comic book guys because they were like, now it's their turn to pick on people, and Lord, they do it well.
That's hilarious. You walk out and they're like, they're like, what a. What a nerd.
What a loser.
That guy needs to get laid.
I went in there one time, and it was a Saturday afternoon in the springtime, beautiful day. It's 75.
Kenny has
sunny.
Checked out. Kenny is reading comic books
Kenny
right
is
now.
Totally, he's just pulling not, a Josh. He's totally checked
no,
out.
No, I was trying to find a picture for you, and I couldn't find it.
And so. I walked in, and I felt so weird because there's this huge back room going on. There's pizzas, and there's sodas, 2 liters of sodas. And they're having like a Magic the Gathering tournament in the back room. And I'm like, it is June and it's Saturday and it's 80 degrees and beautiful blue sky. And I'm like, and these people are sitting inside in a back room playing Magic the Gathering all day long. Like, I can tell they've been there a long time. And it's 2 o'clock and they've been
JT,
there since 7 a.m.
Wasn't it you that told me you played Magic when you were in
oh,
school?
Oh, yeah, I did. I didn't know. Yeah. I was like 12. I was like 12.
I no, I know.
From
I,
like 12
I was just
to 13.
Curious.
I did. Yeah. No, but I was like, come on, get some sun, guys. Come out to the park. Well, you know.
Do you know that there's like major money in some of that Magic the Gathering stuff?
Is there really?
Like yeah.
From
like
card collection?
Not the collection. I mean, I'm sure there's money in the collection.
Or like the tournaments they play.
The actual tournaments, you can win like a lot of money playing.
I mean, I don't see. I mean, it probably wouldn't be too far from going to Vegas and playing a Texas Hold'em tournament. Like, I'm sure you can go to Vegas and do a Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Let's see. Every Pro Tour awards a total of $240,000 in cash prizes, with $50,000 going to the winner. And that's each time they have a Pro Tour event
for wow.
Magic the Gathering. Yeah.
Because some of these poker guys, like the World Series of Poker, they're at these tables for days, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Magic's days, the same way, I'm sure. Like, I haven't – I don't watch it. I am a nerd, but I actually don't watch Magic. But yeah, it's kind of crazy what all happens, so – weird.
That
anyway,
is weird.
Yeah. Fellas, did you watch any of The Last Dance?
Oh yeah,
these are the best episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good, aren't they?
Best. Just... These are the best two. Was Sunday nights.
I
identify with Michael Jordan a lot when the way he's petty and shit. A lot of the time, there are so many moments when he's like. Yeah, this person said this one little thing to me, and like it just pissed me off. And I'm like, I totally that happens to me
wait,
all the time.
Just, well, he just I'm made up a, the thing about what was the guy's name?
Made up
Bryant,
the thing.
Whatever his name was, Michael, whatever his name was, I can't remember his name. Made it up.
Yeah.
Or him, Scott Burrell. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Scott Burrell, you hoe. I'm going. I am going to use Scott Burrell, you ho, as a trash talk thing for the rest of my life. That just it was so funny watching him trash talk that dude in practice. Like, watching
punching
him ride
Steve
him.
Kerr in the eye. It's,
yeah, like, who doesn't like Steve Kerr? Like, eye, so. Who doesn't like Steve Kerr? Can be kind of like, he seems like a kind of a really liberal dude, but he seems so cool and nice that, how could you punch Steve Kerr? Like,
yeah.
Even if you hate the Golden State Warriors, like Steve Kerr, what did he?
To be fair, know? Steve Kerr punched him in the chest, and then Michael punched him in the eye.
Weak
after
move.
Michael fouled him, you know.
Yeah.
But I love these episodes. I thought they were fantastic.
I did too.
So I guess let's talk through them just a little bit. First of all, MJ's dad dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it just me, or did it feel like? Did it feel like they kind of like gave this lip service in a way?
I felt like they went out of their way to be sure to let you know this was not anything to do with gambling. This is urban legend, yada, yada,
which
yada.
Which may well be true, and I'm fine with saying that. Right, I'm fine with them saying that. But, like, they didn't go, like, it felt really weird. So your dad's just, like, out of commission. Nobody knows where he's at for, like, 2 or 3 days before they start even kind of worrying about him. That's a little weird. Like, and maybe that's just, like, disconnect in time. Maybe we were more used to that in the 90s, and I don't remember it that way.
Right.
But I don't know. It feels weird.
I remember the story, hearing as a kid, and remember the news reports that Michael Jordan's dad was missing. I don't remember it being that long. But I remember there being a time frame of being like, his dad is missing, and then, they found his body, he's been murdered. I also know that in this show, you're not going to get away with doing anything that Michael Jordan doesn't want you to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He probably laid down some pretty strict guidelines, like, hey, this is as much as I'm talking about it, and that's it. You know, do that what you will. But
it does feel like they've been kind of true to it. Okay, so it feels like they've been kind of true to defend Jerry Krause a little bit. It also feels like they've been kind of true to, like, delve in the background of his gambling and other things at other times. It just felt like this entire part of the episode, I don't know, it felt like they didn't really dig into anything. It felt like they just, well, Michael then just shows up and he gives the eulogy, and I don't know, it felt weird.
Yeah, there was probably parts of it where he just didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to keep private life private. That's fine. That's totally okay. I did like the episodes because these hit on the biggest parts of Michael Jordan. Like, the still to this day things that you're like, that's weird that happened. He wins 3 titles. His dad disappears. His dad gets murdered. He retires, like, out of the blue. I didn't know the retirement story broke the way it did. Like, with him at a baseball game, and it, like, being reported, like, at a baseball game.
Yeah, that's crazy. Retiring.
And then the baseball, and then the facts, the I'm back facts, and all those things that are still hard to believe. That there was this 2-year period where Michael Jordan, at the top of his game, retired and went to go play baseball. Like, that's still, like, honestly, if you had to rank the top 5 most ludicrous sports storylines of our lifetimes, that's up there.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jordan quitting to play baseball. You're so, like,
So I think they do a good job of explaining to the casual listener how big a deal this was for Michael Jordan to bat 200 at Double A.
Shoot, yeah.
Terry Francona having him say what he said, carries a lot of weight. Yeah,
it's been 13 years since Michael Jordan's played baseball, at least any sort of organized form of it.
Yeah,
and he goes. And pitchers, like, Double A, that's like, I know it's a little different in the 90s than it is now, but Double A now is where the best pitchers are. Not Triple A, but Double A. At that time, it was probably Triple A that had the best pitchers, but Double A still had pretty good stuff. They figure out, we can't throw this guy fastballs. So they start just throwing him breaking balls. He hasn't seen a breaking ball ever, probably. I mean, let's be honest. When you're in high school in North Carolina, you probably weren't
getting
there's
one or two guys that maybe could throw breaking an effective breaking ball.
Yeah. I mean, it was mostly just spotted up fastball.
And especially back then, you didn't have guys that had private pitching coaches and those kind of things.
No,
these guys played baseball, and they also played football, and they played basketball. They didn't, you know, that wasn't a thing back then.
So here's the other part of that. To know that he went like a month and a half and struck out almost every time at the plate and still batted 200 for the season, that's what tells you how good he got towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, he drove in 50 runs in minor league ball, which is a big deal.
Right.
And he batted 200, which means probably the last month of the season, he was probably batting like 350. Mm-hmm. If you like put it all together.
And built with a body that is not meant for baseball.
Right, not at all.
Like, the mechanics of a baseball swing are hard enough. It doesn't help when you're like 6'6". And you're 175 pounds. Like, we can look at Tim Tebow and go, okay, like, he's got a body that could crush a baseball. If he gets a hold of one, that joker can fly. You look at Michael Jordan and you're like, this guy couldn't hit. Like, you look at it, you know what I mean? He looks goofy in a baseball uniform. Yeah. I think that just shows that athletes are built differently from a coordination standpoint than normal people are. That what would we think is super duper hard, it's easier for them. Like, imagine if LeBron James quit and decided, I'm going to play NFL and I'm going to be a tight end. Give him 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be a 6'8", 275 pound tight end that runs like a 4.4.
He'd be like Gronk, except more athletic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy that he'd go from being 17 to being 31, a 14 year gap without seeing any sort of. And the baseball you played was high school baseball in rural North Carolina.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's not like you were a former top prospect, you know, or you played in the minor league system for somebody else and then took a bunch of years off. Like, when I can't imagine playing baseball in high school and then going straight to Double A 14 years later and having any success at all.
When Terry Francona basically says this, and then Jerry Reinsdorf, who doesn't have a reason to, like, in my opinion, doesn't have a reason to, like, lie about this, it says, I have no doubts that had he continued, Michael Jordan would have been a starter, would have made the major leagues. He didn't go into saying what level, but
well, keep in mind, anybody that wanted to say anything different than that was not going to be included in this documentary.
Well, Reinsdorf could be in it. He owns both teams. He owns the Bulls and
White Sox, Michael Jordan says, I don't want him doing, you know, what Michael Jordan has not talked to Sports Illustrated since 1993, when they read
the article. But I'm just saying, Reinsdorf doesn't need Michael Jordan at this point. You know, like,
Saying that Michael Jordan wants people on there to talk about how great Michael Jordan was going to be at baseball. He's not going to, you know, I mean, he's not going to have somebody in there giving counter
opinion. I think in 1 year, if Michael Jordan in 1 year could get to batting a 200 at Double A,
I think it's incredibly impressive.
In 3 years, he would have, by the time he was 33, had he played nonstop, 33 or 34, I think he could have made it to the pros. Now, that being said, you're 34, you know, so in baseball terms, what's the point? You know, had he started at 25, oh, man, what an interesting take, you know. But I don't know.
It made me respect baseball and basketball a lot, because you realize how hard baseball is, how hard the mechanics are. How much you have to adjust, you know, and how you have to get in shape for it in a different way than any other sport, apparently. You don't really think about that. At least I don't think about that. Even an outfielder. He's going to be an outfielder. He's got to condition himself, and, like, he had to kind of rebuild his body. Then he goes back to basketball, and he was pretty much out of shape for Michael Jordan, you know, that whole next year. As we saw, he was exhausted. And you realize how... For me, I had a whole new respect for basketball, for the legs. Like, you have to have so much endurance to run up and down the court, you know, for 82 games. That's a lot on your body.
The way
you know?
He rebuilt himself in 1 year after that 94-95 season is just incredible. Like, while shooting Space Jam and those workouts.
Yeah, that was crazy too, right? That was crazy. And how he was inviting all the dudes. Like, that was interesting. Like, Reggie Miller and all those guys.
Which makes Space Jam even weirder. Can you imagine
if there were footage of those games that still existed? And I'm not talking about just, like, a little bit, but, like, actual full recordings of what happened at those things.
Oh, my God. Does it kind of blow your mind that they got Michael Jordan to film a movie while he's trying to... Like, it seems to me like he'd be the type to be like, no, I don't want anything that's going to distract me from playing basketball. Like, that they convinced him to do a movie is still kind of crazy to me.
Well, somebody has like, to defeat the Monstars.
Yeah.
I mean, if
the Monstars. I know. It would be weird if,
they couldn't take a timeout and wait a year, JT. You have to deal with them when they stole the superpowers. Would you want an NBA season without Charles Barkley's superpowers? And without, Larry Johnson's power.
It would be totally weird if, they had Space Jam and everything else was the same, but, Michael Jordan was like, no, I'm going to play basketball. And so, Dan Marley was, the star of something like that. It'd be weird. But that seems to me, because it seems just counterproductive to everything else that he's about. I'm going to go off and
film a
movie.
I see what you mean. To him, it's all about basketball. He doesn't get the politics, civil rights, because it's all about he's to him, he's just a basketball player. So
he's just so it is weird. Yeah,
it is weird that he would be like, "Yeah, film me." I don't know.
Yeah, because it's I don't know. But I thought that was really cool, and then the coming back and just he got the strike happened,
mm-hmm.
and so he kind of had nothing to do. And he was like,
"Yeah, it makes you wonder come watch if practice. The strike doesn't happen, does he play baseball?" Right. It makes you wonder. I think he would have probably gone back to basketball. I think he missed it. I think baseball. I think they did a good job of explaining this, that baseball was Michael Jordan's way of grieving his dad,
right?
And and grieving out of the spotlight, being able to not have the camera on him every second, even though the minor league thing was a show in and of itself, it was not the same level as the usual Michael Jordan show. I mean, and the minor league thing was ridiculous. I mean, he packed out more stadiums than Tim Tebow does, and that's hard to believe, but yeah. So fellas, tell me this, what's something you think you could put down for 13 years and suddenly start back and be at least semi-pro level at it? Jordan didn't touch baseball for 13 years, suddenly picks it up, and he's semi-pro good,
Kenny, you're talking to two guys in sales who are just bullshit artists. We don't have any skills.
Yeah.
We just make skills.
I don't believe you.
You don't have anything we could...
Oh, I don't believe you.
I mean, the obvious one is ride a bike, I just
got
a bike.
That's actually not true. Have you ever tried it? It's actually a lot harder.
I got a bike this past week for the first time since I was in, before I could drive a car. And, the first, minute or two is weird. And then, I went to the park and went riding and it was good. Felt good.
Yeah. In college, I decided I hadn't ridden a bike in college since I was 14 or 15 probably, at least more than just a few minutes. I go to college and I'm at the University of Georgia, and the bus is always a nightmare to catch the bus, get to all my classes. So I'm parking on South Campus over behind the food court down there. And so I'm like, my classes are at or hold there, and so I'm like, I'm going to just jump on the bike, and I'll carry it with me every day in my truck. I'll jump on a bike, I'll ride my bike to class, and I won't have to fool with the bus. So I take this bike, and it's a pretty good size, just standard cross-country kind of bike, not like a big road bike or anything. So I hop on it, I start down, and I'm making good time. I'm going downhill, all this stuff. And I get down to the bottom of the hill right there, and I'm fixing to start back up towards Etterhold. And a bus is coming. And I'm like, okay, I need to get out of the road. So I just ease over to the sidewalk, and I'm moving pretty good. I'm moving about probably 10 or 15 miles an hour. And I'm just going to the way I remember from being 15, I'm going to just jerk the front of the bike up a little bit, hop up on the curb, and keep right on going up through there. So here I am. I'm boom, 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 boom. I'm pedaling down through there. The bus is coming. I go to jump up on the curb. Only I weigh about, you know, 50 or 60 pounds more than I did when I was 15. And slam straight into the curve with the bike. The front end of the bike does not come off the ground the way that I anticipated. I wreck the bike very violently in front of the bus. The bus has to stop. The bus is full. It's packed full of people. I have to stop and drag my bleeding arm and my bicycle out of the road in front of the bus, and then do the turn around and do the walk of shame back to my truck, because I'm pouring blood at this point. There's no way I'm going to class. The front wheel on my bike is completely bent. There's no way to actually ride it. It's completely destroyed. So I basically dragged the bike about a half mile back to where my truck was parked. I threw the bike in the back of the truck and never rode a bike again. That's my story of riding a bike. So it's not always just as funny easy as riding a bike. You know?
Somewhere, like, now in 2020, there are people on that bus that day that are sitting around talking and be like, "Hey, man, remember that time we saw that guy like, totally eat it on the sidewalk?"
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then he just, like, walked his bike back and he was bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. He's wearing that Batman t-shirt and he just, like, bit the dust, man. Do you guys remember that?
I think, I bet Josh could pick up a guitar. I bet Josh could pick up a guitar after 13 years, which I know you haven't, like, truly laid down a guitar for 13 years, but I bet you could come close to being semi-pro with a guitar.
I could probably.
I mean, it would take you a few weeks. I'm not saying it'd be instant, but you could. I think you could get back into it pretty close if it had been that long a break.
I probably could.
What about JT, flag memory? Football? Were you a flag football guy? You look like you were a flag football guy.
Yeah, yeah. In college, yeah, I'm scared to try that, man. My ego would not take getting burnt by some, like, kid who, like, you know, like the super skinny nerdy kid, but is, like, lightning fast, and I'm like, like, that's just no. I can't
imagine running. You know,
right?
Again. Like I haven't ran.
I can run once. I can run in high school,
except to, like, stop a cow or something. I remember a few years back, Dad set the baler on fire accidentally. We had a bearing go bad, and it caught on fire. And the fire extinguisher was, like, half empty that was on the baler. And he told me to go get one. And it was, like, half a mile to the shop. And I didn't have any way to go. And I remember I ran it, like, as hard and as fast as I could. I got back, and we got the fire put out and everything, and I was 100% sure I was going to die. Like, I was leaving this earth. Like, it was nice knowing you. I'm gone now. Peace.
One of those where, like, you calm down later, and then you're like, I'm going to throw up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Totally.
I remember right after Dad died, we had a heifer calf that had trouble calving, and it was a hot day. It was, like, 90-something degrees, and I remember I jacked the calf and ended up pulling the calf and everything. And the cow, she kept walking away from me, and I couldn't get her to go down. And when she finally did, I pulled it. And I remember laying in the pasture next to the cow who can't move. And I'm just laying there, like, sucking air as hard as I can, because I'm like, I think I'm going to die because I can't do anymore. And by that time, a neighbor just happened to see me laying out there, and he stopped by to, "Can I help?" And I'm like, yes, you can. Physical exercise is my enemy. Let's be honest. There's a reason I own a tractor.
I could run, like, if you told me run as fast as you can from your mailbox to this mailbox, I could do it. But I can do it, like, once. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then I'm done, you know. Like, the endurance of being, no. Like, watching guys play basketball, watching these Jordan things, I'm like, oh, God, that looks terrible. All the running they're doing, the jumping, and I'm like
what's really crazy to me is the physical change. Like,
yeah,
Michael Jordan, when he's 21, doesn't look anything like Michael Jordan when he's 35. Right. And I don't even mean, like, I mean, not even remotely. They don't even look like the same guy if you really like, if you would have put them up next to each other, you'd have gone like, oh, they're cousins. You know, like I wouldn't have ever thought they were the same person. You know,
looks like it totally filled out his body and looks totally different. The thing is, too, there's a certain wonder you have when you're like 5 or 6 and you see a poster of Michael Jordan, like the one that I think everybody's seen where he's dunking and he's just like flying through the air. And you're like, oh, that looks really cool. And there's a certain wonder you get when you're 35 and then you're like, oh, my God, yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, because you think when you're a kid, I want to be able to do that one day. And then as you're an adult, you're like, oh my God, that's like the hardest thing ever to do. Like, that's physically impossible. How's he doing that? You know, like,
that's like, it's like 6'10" Shaq, whatever he is, 330 pounds. Imagine him being able to jump. I know he's tall, but still, like, jump and dunk with the force that he jumps and dunks with, and you're like, dude, Shaq was like, that's literally like a truck jumping up in the air and throwing a ball through.
And the thing is, you're watching these Jordan, you're watching Jordan in 96, 97, 98, where he's like the age I am now. And I'm like, oh, what? Oh, like, how do you even, how do you not like puke on things. The court?
I'm 37. One, he's in super shape.
Right.
Two, I feel like a little boy next to him. Like, both sides of it. Like, I'm like, maybe when I grow up, I'll be like that size. You know, I feel like he's just so much bigger than me, and not just height wise. Like, he looks like a grown man, and I'm like,
it's not even a,
I still feel like I'm like an 18-year-old boy, you know, when I see that.
Not even like, it's not human. Like, it's
not.
It's ridiculous. And so, like, watching some of the stuff is just, oh man, it makes my whole body cringe and hurt.
Me too. Hey, shout out to our newest and latest patron. Josh, we have a brand new patron. I'm sure you're excited about this. Mr. Rick Poling.
Yes! Shout out, Rick!
Woo!
Rick!
Thanks for supporting the show, bud.
Rick!
He is Nakahoma royalty.
Rick Poling!
He going all out. He probably misclicked and hit the wrong button. But, you know, that being said, we appreciate it.
Trying to figure out how to cancel.
Yeah, several of you have tried to figure out how to cancel. Only to up your subscription, which we greatly appreciate. It means the world to us. So, if you would like to be like as cool as Rick and join the Nakahoma Nation royalty, you can do so
like Rick
at patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation, where you can become a patron. You can get cool stickers. You can get a shout out on the show. And you can get swag. Speaking of which, we have some new swag in the works. It should be out, I don't know,
pretty soon. Y'all are not ready for the new swag.
I'm kind of digging it. I'm kind of digging it. We'll see. There might even be the possibility, maybe, of a Nakahoma face mask for you to be able to wear into public so that you don't catch the vid. Just saying.
Oh, wow.
Just saying. Hey, thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Nakahoma Nation Podcast Show. If you're not able to be a patron right now, but you still want to support the show, the best way you can do that is by liking, sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review of the podcast. We love to read the reviews. We'll talk about a lot of them online from time to time on the show. If you leave a good review or a decent review or a terrible review, Josh will be happy to send you a baseball card of commensurate value. So if you leave a terrible review, Josh will send you a terrible baseball card. If you leave a good review, he will leave you a good baseball card. You just have to let him know on the Twitters or on the Facebook, and he'll get that card sent to you. But we appreciate all the reviews, the comments, the likes, and subscribe. You make this show tick, and we have plenty of ticks of our own. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week. knuckleheads.